Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Why don't you turn to your neighbor, tell them this, say you look like you've lost 20 pounds. Just tell them that this morning. And I've got one goal this morning, one goal alone. A lot of times I come in here and I'm trying to educate us all. I love to study. How many of y'all want to know more about the Bible next year than you knew last year? Is anybody like that? I like knowing more. So sometimes I come and it educates me in the week and it educates us all together on the weekend. Sometimes I come and it's like, hey, I'm wanting to people to experience the tangible presence of God. It's like, I want to see people get miracles and see people get filled with the Spirit and see people get prophetic word of the Lord. So sometimes that's my goal. But today I come in here with one goal. I come in here with one goal, and that is that I want to encourage the discouraged. So I want to talk to you today about how you can defeat discouragement in your life. You know, we're faith people. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so we believe we don't live as Christians. Let's just say that out loud this morning to remind us all of that. Everybody say, I walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, let's say it again. I walk by faith and not by sight. But how many know, even though we walk by faith and not by sight, we also live in a sight world? And if you're looking around, sometimes as a human, you can allow some of the things of this world to begin to come into you and begin to change you and begin to discourage you. Do you know what it means to be discouraged? It means to have the courage taken out of you. But if there's one thing we want in the house of God, whenever you come to church and whenever we come together, we want you walking out of here encouraged, lifting up, built up, and edified. See, the world we live in, there really is a negative gravity to it. The world is fallen. How many know if you turn on the news and you watch it, it doesn't matter what network you watch. It might be Fox News. It might be CNN. It might be, you know, whatever news it is. How many know if you watch it after an hour, you are not going to be greatly encouraged? Somebody say amen to that. Now, I love the news. I love current events. I love politics. But there's times I just turn it off after a while because I'm tired of listening to what the world says, and I want to hear what the Word says, because I know a steady diet of this will drag me down, but come on, a steady diet of the Word, it'll lift me up. See, those things, they have the ability to discourage me. I know the workplace can be discouraging. I know there's all of this, and things come out after you, but I'm telling you what, God wants you built up. Let me show you just a few New Testament scriptures about what we're supposed to do whenever we come together. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I'll read it to you very quickly. You don't have to turn there. This is the NLT. It says, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Encourage one another. Everybody say encourage. Come on, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are already doing. Hebrews 10:25 NLT says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. Everybody say encourage one another. Come on. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. There's a guy in the New Testament. His name is Barnabas. The word Barnabas itself means son of encouragement. He's the guy that actually took who was Saul of Tarsus, who would later on become the Apostle Paul. Saul was a hitman for the Jewish nation when Christianity was in its infancy. And he was the guy that went out and would bust up meetings like this. He would drag us out. He took Stephen himself. He was there whenever one of the early leaders of the church was executed for worshiping Jesus. Saul was a part of that. Well, Saul had a mighty conversion. He saw Jesus on the Damascus Road. Life gets turned around, gets called to preach the gospel. He wants to go meet the church leaders. Nobody will believe in him. They all think he's a rat, he's a mole. He's trying to infiltrate their network so he can kill them. They said, man, he's going to get inside and he's going to do us all kinds of damage. There was one guy that saw the gift in Paul. There's one guy that believed in him and one guy that lifted him and brought him into Jerusalem. His name was Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And come on, he brought that gift in. He spoke to that gift. He spoke to the king on the inside of Paul. And you know what God did with Paul? Used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. I'm believing there might be some discouraged people in the room right now, but I believe the Word of God's going into your heart richly even now. And instead of being drugged down and brought down by this world, you're going to be lifted up by the Word of God. You're going to be lifted up by the Spirit of God. You're going to be lifted up by the help of God, and you're going to walk out of here better than you came in here today. Come on, there's encouragement in the air today. You ought to receive it. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. There was a motivational speaker that he's already went on to be with the heaven, to heaven, be with Jesus. Christian guy, Southern Baptist man by the name of Zig Ziglar. Does anybody remember or ever listen to Zig Ziglar way back in the day? Zig used to say this all the time. You ought to get his book, A View from the Top, audio book, and listen to it. But Zig says this all the time. He said that encouragement is the oxygen of heaven. Encouragement is the oxygen of heaven. See, we live in a world where it's easy to get discouraged. There's nothing wrong with you just because you've been discouraged. I know you hear people talk about being faith people and believing God despite of what they see, and you might look at some people and say, well, they're galvanized. They never have any trouble. They never get down. They never fall apart. I'll never be a super Christian like they are. But what you don't know is you're just seeing part of the story. Come on, it's like Instagram or Facebook, right? We give our snapshots on our best day, not on our worst day. Come on, we take the pictures of each other when we're all made up and we got the sports coat on and the dress on and we're going out to eat and the lighting's just right. We don't take the pictures whenever one of you's got the flu throwing up in the toilet and the other one's holding the hair back, right? Come on, somebody. We do it selectively. And so everybody you see here in the room right now, I promise you, everybody has been discouraged. What the devil wants to do is he wants to lie to you and tell you you're the only person with that kind of problem, that you're the only person that's going through something, that you're the only person that's really got those issues, where really there's tons of people that have been discouraged, and God is a God that's coming to lift you up. See, whenever you allow discouragement to hang around like that, it can turn into depression. How many of you know God's people ought not be depressed? God wants to lift us out of that and help us. He doesn't want to leave you in that state. I know what it's like to feel things deeply is what we say at my house. You know, I've got multiple sides to me, as everybody in the room is multifaceted. There's different sides to all of us. If any of you live with a human being, just say amen, right? There's a good side. There's a bad side. There's a happy side. There's all of these different sides. And people learn to live as they grow in the Word. They learn to control those sides. But as human beings, most of us are all walking contradictions in ourselves on one day or another. If you want to learn to be happy with the body of Christ and happy with people, you have to learn to deal with the contradictions within people, to your right, to your left, also with the person sitting in your chair. Somebody say amen to that. You learn to deal with that. That's maturity. And here's kind of the way. There's a leadership side of me where I'm called to be a leader. And it's grace and it's a gift side of me. Then there's a very natural side of me, just like all of you. Man, there's a fleshly side of me. And as a kid, I'll tell you what, I felt things deeply. I mean, I remember being a little boy. I got a daughter that's kind of like this. Me and Briley, we feel things deeply. I'd go in the room, and I'm a kid. I'm like 7, 8 years old. Probably Ben in the back. My brother was picking on me or something like that. You big bully, Ben in the back. And I'd go in my room, I'd shut the door, and I'd just cry. And man, I'd cry so hard I didn't even know why I was crying. And mom would come in and try to console me, and I'm like, just leave me alone. I need to cry. And there was a part of that that was in me a little bit. I remember being in high school. I'd go into my room, and I'd close the door, and I would turn on R.E.M. Does anybody remember the song Everybody Hurts? Everybody hurts. Everybody cries. You know it, right? Everybody hurts. Sometime. It's like, oh, thank you, REM, for inducing thousands of suicides around the world. Come on. And if I gave myself to that side of me, how many know I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today? The side's there. But if you believe that that side rules over you, instead of believing that the line of the tribe of Judah on the inside of you rules over you, you'll be living in darkness, and God never designed for you to live in darkness. He wants you to live in the light of the Word of God, in the light of the Lamb. I'm telling you, just like the light is the Lamb, is the light of the city of heaven, He'll be the light of your life. Somebody give the Lamb a hand clap. Somebody worship Him. Somebody praise Him. Somebody's coming out of darkness. They're going into light today. So listen, if you're discouraged, you're in good company. When I read through the Bible, I see many, many leaders in the kingdom of God that got greatly discouraged. Think about Abraham. Abraham gets a promise from God that he's going to have a son. Doesn't have that promise for so long, he gets so discouraged. He tries to have a son through another woman he wasn't authorized to have a son through. Problems come to his life because of discouragement. Think about David. David's a worship leader. David's a creative type. You read through the Psalms, one of the greatest worship leaders there's ever been. So thankful for David. David writes again and again in the Psalms, three times. He writes these words. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Can't you see him, worship leader, king? He's got on real skinny jeans and a funky hairdo, some kind of weird outfit, because that's how creatives dress, right? He's writing this music, but he's leading as a warrior. He's like, why are you downcast, O my soul? You know, there's guys in the Old Testament like Jonah. Jonah's sent to prophesy to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go because he hates the people of Nineveh. And he runs out to the other way. He thinks he's going to flee from the presence of God. And he goes down to Tarsus, and he gets out on a boat, gets thrown off of the boat. Big fish swallows him up, a instrument in the hand of God. And he's so discouraging, even the fish himself throws him up. Come on, somebody. How many know you're pretty down whenever fish are puking you up on the side of the beach, right? This guy's messed up. Then there's Elijah in the Old Testament. I want you to turn there now. I want to teach you just a few things on how to defeat discouragement. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. This is one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament. Elijah spoke the word of God. He did amazing things. As a matter of fact, Elijah was a prophet in some of Israel's worst days. And there's Ahab was a wicked king, and his wife Jezebel were destroying the kingdom. And God raised up Elijah to prophesy against them and to restore order in the kingdom of Israel. And so Elijah did things like this. They worshiped a false god by the name of Baal. So he gets up on the Mount Carmel, and they're up there, and all the prophets of Baal are worshiping, and then Elijah's worshiping. And this duel shows up, this contest shows up. They say, both of us, we're going to put an offering out on wood to our God. Whichever God answers by fire from heaven, he is the true and the living God. And you know the stories. The prophets of Baal, they get out there, they kill their sacrifice, they lay it on wood, they start dancing, they start singing, they start cutting themselves, waiting on fire to fall, nothing happens. So what does Elijah do? Like a true prophet, he begins to make fun of them and harass them sarcastically. I'm so thankful for his personality. You know, people talk about the different love languages. In our house, I believe one of our love languages is verbal harassment. How many of y'all come out of a house where that's your love language? It's like verbal. I know you love me when you start harassing me verbally. That's how my brothers, we talk to each other like, what's up, you punk? It's good to see you. You quit lifting weights? You getting fat? What have you been eating? My God. You know, that's how we show our love to one. I don't do that to y'all, but I do it to my brothers. That's what we do. And it's a love language. And so in the Bible, Elijah starts harassing those guys. He says, where's your God? Is he out for lunch? Is he out for a break? The original language, it says, is he gone to the bathroom? That's what it says. And so then Elijah digs this massive ditch, puts his wood in it. He slaughters his sacrifice. He lays it on it. Then he starts getting buckets and buckets and buckets of water, dumping it on the sacrifice. Says, whenever God moves in our midst, nobody's going to say it's me. They're not going to say it's a trick. They're going to know it's God. And he lifts up his hands and he prays to the heavens. And you know the story. All of a sudden, the fire of God falls. It consumes up the sacrifice and takes the water. Then after that, Elijah, think about how powerful a moment that is. Man, that's a powerful man of God. After that, he leads the nation of Israel to kill all the prophets of Baal, or Baal, the way a lot of people say it around here. Slaughters them all. He kills them all. So he's a prophet. Now he's a military hero in that moment. Then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Elijah, and he outruns King Ahab's chariots back to where King Ahab lived. And then he gives him another word of the Lord. It hadn't rained in 3 years. He says, listen, rain is coming again to Israel. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, and it rained. How many of you think that sounds like a guy who is on top, he's doing something, he's got it going on? Well, after all of that happened, even the next day, man, just the next day, I want to show you how God's Superman begins to fall apart. I want you to turn over, if you're there, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. Go ahead and say, 1 Kings 19 and verse 1, it says this. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and now he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. Isn't it crazy? One woman threatens this man of God who has the power to call down fire from heaven. One woman threatens the man of God who outruns chariots. One woman threatens the man of God who puts to the sword the prophets of Baal, and he runs for his life. What did Elijah do that morning? Well, he listened to the wrong voice. I'm telling you, voices will determine your choices in life. Somebody say amen to that. Verse 3, when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. This mighty prophet runs from this woman. Then he crawls under a tree and he begins to pray that he'll die. And he says things like, I'm no better than my father's. But listen, that wasn't the real Elijah. That was just discouragement talking through Elijah in the moment. How many of you have ever said some things whenever you were discouraged that really wasn't you? Come on, somebody. It was just the moment. It was that moment had you. That moment got you wrapped up and you said some things you didn't want. How many ever had a kid tell you, like a kid you knew that loved you, was around you, maybe one of your kids, that they never wanted to see you again and they hated your guts? Come on. Do I have any parents in the room ever heard something like that? I know it's happened to many, many of you. How many know that kid didn't believe that, right? That kid, that wasn't in their core. That kid was just having a moment, having a minute. The environment got the best of that kid, and when it came out of that kid's mouth, the kid wished that they wouldn't have said it. Elijah starts praying. He's like that. How many are thankful? I believe that God has a digital recorder type device that the angels in heaven, they come and they bring. And I believe that they record our statements on our best days. And then that the grace of Jesus backs it up and it deletes the bad things we say. And then God doesn't see us through our worst day. He sees us through Jesus' best day. Come on, how many of y'all want God to see your life through rewind like that? And the bad stuff gets washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Elijah's down there. He's praying for death. Let's look back down at our text. He's praying that I may die. Then as I lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him. Man, I declare that the angels of the Lord are coming to minister to every discouraged person in this room. I declare the angel of the Lord is coming to minister to every discouraged person in this room. I declare that the angel of the Lord is coming to minister to every discouraged person. I'm telling you, if you're discouraged, lift your hand to heaven. I declare the angels of the Lord are coming to minister to every discouraged. I declare the angel of the Lord is coming to minister to every discouraged person in the room. And he touched him and he said to him, arise and eat. That's not a word from the Lord. I don't know what it is. It's time to get up and eat. Come on. God is a good God. Somebody say amen to that. Going to eat something. So Elijah gets up. The Bible says this. He looked. There by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time, touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is far too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap that he doesn't leave us in our depression, but he sends angels. In our discouragement, he sends angels to come and minister to us. So Elijah gets up and he eats. He gets up and he eats a second time, and strength comes back to him. You know what I want our church to be like right here? I believe the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be a place where whenever people come in and they get discouraged, it's like the angel of the Lord touches them, brings them water, and brings them food and gives them strength for their journey. I'm telling you today, you're getting strength for your journey to go forward in life. And I'm telling you, God can use us to be a deliverer. He's got supernatural angels, but come on, he's also got human servants right here. And we can be the oxygen of heaven in somebody else's life. How many of you have had a person that said something to you at right the just right on the time. You needed to hear so bad. It's like you were drinking water that you hadn't drank forever. You know, a guy that pastors me, Pastor Bill Shear, mentor in my life. He pastors Guts Church, Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's preached here many times now. And he's got something he'll always say to you if he runs into you. He'll say, what can I do for you today? Or is there anything I can do for you today? It's his shtick. If I run into you, I'm going to say a couple of things. I'm going to say, are you behaving? Come on, look at your neighbor. Just ask him, are you behaving today? Just tell him that. Or ask him if they're happy. It's a part of my deal. You know what I'm going to say when I'm walking up to you? He says, what can I do for you today? And I asked him one time, why do you always say that? He said, well, years ago, I was living in a rent house in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Wasn't married yet, and there were several of us that were there. We were just getting different rooms in the house, renting them. And a guy came and he rented a room, and I didn't really try to connect with him because I was getting ready to move out. And these are people just renting a room. You don't know if they're an axe murderer or whatnot, so you're kind of sketched out by each other. And he said, I was going up the stairs one day at the house, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God like arrested me in my spirit. Now I knew I was supposed to knock on this guy's door and see if there's anything I could do for him. It's like I didn't even know what to say when I got there. How many of y'all have ever been in a place where you knew you were supposed to do something for somebody, but you didn't know what it was? Come on, let me see your hands out there. It happens to me all the time. Tell you what, if you'll put your flesh down at that point and just walk across the room, you won't know what to do till you get there. But whenever you get there, the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you. And if you'll put yourself down, the Spirit of God will raise up his head and begin to operate. So he said, I stopped. I was in a hurry, but I went back and I knocked on the door. And the guy opened the door, and he said, yeah. He said, hey, I'm Bill Shear. I'm here. I just wanted to say hi to you. Now, he's like, well, hi. It's good to meet you. He's like, I just wanted to ask you, is there anything that I can do for you today? And he said, no, man, I think I'm good. There's nothing you can do for me. They shut the door. Life goes on. Pastor Bill moves out of the house, doesn't see that guy, forgets about it. He's preaching a youth conference several years later. It's at a camp environment. There's like a youth camp. Pastor Bill's staying in a cabin there. And after he preaches that night, he was the main speaker. Somebody comes and knocks on the door about an hour after service. And he walks to the door and he opens the door and there was a guy sitting there. And he said, I know you don't remember me, but I remember you. He said, we used to live in the same house together in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You were moving out when I was moving in. And one day I was sitting in my room getting ready to end my life. I had the gun in my hand, and I was getting ready to pull the trigger, and I prayed. I said, God, if you're real and you got a plan for me or something for me, have somebody knock on that door. And you came, and you knocked on that door, and you asked me if there's anything I could do for you. I was getting ready to kill myself, but instead of being dead and in hell right now, he said, I got saved, I got born again, I got filled with the Spirit, God gave me a wife, called me into the ministry, I have children, and I have a life. Come on, let's put the courage into somebody. Instead of taking the courage out of somebody. Somebody say amen. How many of y'all want God to use you like that, man? I want him to use me like that. And Elijah, even this prophet, he falls into a place like that. I want to show you how. How do I defeat discouragement in my own life? Now, I want you to write these things down. These are simple things that will help you defeat discouragement in your own life. You encourage yourself, you can encourage somebody else. Here's some ways you can defeat discouragement. Number one is to get alone with God. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Get alone with God. We're alone all the time with the TV. We're alone all the time with the cell phone. How many of you think there's a time to stop taking selfies and put down the Instagram and go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let's get alone with God. Amen. It's like, hey, put down the phone. Facebook will be there whenever you come back. And your digital friends will still be there. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the only way you can quiet all the lying voices. Jezebel saying they'll take your head. All of the enemies of God. You got to turn them off for a moment and turn on the one voice that really matters. Somebody say amen to that. You get along with God. One of the second things you need to do if you're going to overcome discouragement, Elijah laid down in that text and he slept. I think a lot of times, John Hagee used to say this, the most spiritual thing that you could do is go to sleep. I'm going to take two naps today. Come on, somebody. Huh? You go to sleep. How many know mountains look bigger when you're tired? You ever had a problem that just seemed so big late at the night? You went to bed and you slept and the next day it wasn't a big deal at all? How many ever had a fight with your spouse late at night over nothing? And the next day when the daylight came up, it really didn't matter, right? See, if you run on empty long enough, you don't go to sleep. Mountains look bigger whenever you're tired. And some of you don't just get tired, you get hangry. You get hungry, you get angry, you get tired, and all together, it all rolls up in one thing till you go to sleep. Here's the great thing about going to sleep. You know, in the business world, for probably the last 10 years, a lot of guys in the business world have been using virtual assistants. So instead of having an assistant that's right here by them, they'll use one across the world. And a lot of guys, this will be their practice. They'll use virtual assistants in India, China, those parts of the earth. And whenever they're going to bed, they think about all the things they need to have done that they should be doing instead of sleeping. They send that out to the other side of the earth where the daylight's on, where that person can be working while they lay their head down. And so they wake up the next morning. They sent their tasks overnight. Next morning, their tasks are done. How many of y'all would like to have somebody working for you while you slept? Come on, somebody. How many of you, I'm telling you this. If you trust in God and you believe he is who he says he is, you can go to sleep, and he's better than a virtual assistant on the other side of the world. He'll be working while you're sleeping, and he gets all of his assignments right on time. Don't be afraid to go to sleep and to get it back together. See, a lot of times what people think is depression, there's another term that's used. It's called depletion. Instead of depression, it's depletion. They're depleted. One of the third things you can do to overcome discouragement is to eat. Some of y'all are ready to get out of here. I'm going to Moonlight whenever I get out of here, and I'm going to get it on, because I'll tell you, I think you got to fill yourself up to be filled up. And we could talk about what we should be eating, but taking a nap and eating, it gets you back right together. How many of you have ever had some health issues that were self-inflicted? Come on, right? Not taking care of yourself. You eat. You take care of yourself. One of the next things you can do to overcome discouragement, I'm almost out of time, is you need to remember where God brought you from. Is anybody out there thankful for where God brought you from? Tony, I stop and I think about where God brought me from. 18, 19, 20 years ago, I was a meth amp addict. My life was going nowhere fast. What God did is God showed up in my midst, and he cleaned me up, and he called me, and he got me saved, and he gave me my life back. I'm telling you, just remembering where he brought you from. Some of you, you were so locked in depression whenever you came to the house of the Lord. God broke those chains off of your life. Some of you, your marriage was failing, but God showed up in your midst. Some of you were barren, but now you hold a child in your arms. I'm telling you, you might not be all the way you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. If you'll remember where he brought you from, you'll begin to realize that he can take you through what you're going through today. Come on, come on, let's really give him a hand clap. We're thankful for what he's brought us through. Amen. He brought you through so much, and he brought you from so many places. Some of you were raised in abject poverty. You got a job now. That spirit of poverty is broken off of your house, and your kids aren't hungry like you were. You ought to be thankful that he brought you out of that. Tell you, some of you, your family's never dreamed about getting through college. You got a master's degree right now. Come on, you ought to give God a hand clap. He brought you from somewhere. He'll bring you to something. Just stay on your feet. Everybody stand on your feet. Got just a couple more things. You can stand up. Stay with me for one moment. Next thing, if you start getting discouraged, you got to remember this world is not your home. Huh? Man, thinking this is it, it's the most discouraging thing in the world. There's nothing in this world that'll really satisfy long term. How many recognize that? You know, the world gets messed up. The goodness of God, it seems to disappear if you focus on the fallen world. But I'm telling you, we're to focus our eyes somewhere not temporal, but somewhere eternal. If you don't like the potholes in the parking lot after the winter, tell you what, you're going to drive on streets of gold in the future. You're going to heaven. Just remember and keep it an eternal perspective. Don't let the world drag you down. Don't become just normal, temporal kind of person. This world is not our home. It's what encourages me. Some people say, man, you preach all the time, and you're here and there and everywhere, and don't you get tired of them? I'm like, no, this world's not my home. Just doing what I'm called to do while I'm here. One of these days, I'm going to my real home in my Father's house. Come on, somebody. Isn't that encouraging? You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the afterlife. You don't have to fear any of that. Whenever we step out of this world, we go home. Now, I'm going to close with this. This is the last thing to do whenever you're discouraged. You ought to sing. Just opening up your mouth and singing. Some of you are like, Pastor, I'd sing, but You haven't heard me sing. It's so terrible. I'm like, no, we've heard you sing. You ought to sing anyway. Come on, somebody. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I know you don't always feel like singing. Do you think all the people in this room that worship the Lord feel like worshiping the Lord whenever worship starts? Man, a lot of times I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like lifting my hands. But I do it by faith. When you start to do it by faith, things begin to change in your life. You know how it is. You ever walk in, you start, you know, it's worship service, and it's kind of been a bummer week, and you're like, I believe, you know, you'll move my mountain, you know, and I believe I'll see you do it again. But if you stay in the atmosphere, come on, somebody, starts getting a little better, doesn't it? I believe you move the mountain. I won't hurt you with my voice, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I don't even know if I'm on beat back there, but you know what I'm after. And music, it starts to move you. The power of taking authority over your attitude, it starts to move you. Have you ever turned on the radio to a song you liked when you were a kid? The next thing you know, you're driving 120 and there's blue lights behind you. Why? Come on, music starts to move you. Well, you can do the same thing with your soul. Come on. You just lift up your hands. Somebody ought to lift up their hands. We ought to sing together. We ought to worship our way out of here. Come on, Tiffany, lead us. Let's do it together.
To somebody that needs to know that God's on their side. We're going to worship for just a couple more minutes. We're going to lift our hands and we're going to call on God. I tell you what, if you're here with us for the first time, we want to welcome you. We have a gift for you on your way out at that Next Steps booth in the corner. But how many of you know there's church family here? Some people, they've been here for a while, and people that attend with us. How many of you know sometimes you just need some prayer? I think we have a family here, the Ebelhar, I don't know. I'm so bad at these new names for me. They don't have Ebelhares in Texas, so I grew up without them. But I do know one thing. God loves you guys, and I think you're right around here in this area. I can't see because it's dark, but there you are. Thank you so much. Brian would just love to pray for you guys right here on this third row. I want you guys to stretch your hands out, and I want you to sing it over them. Tiffany's going to sing while he prays, and I want the church body just to stand with them today. They experienced great loss this week, but we know that God has moved a mountain before, and he's going to move another one on their behalf. Lord, we thank you. There is no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again.
See you move.
living. Father, today I bless your people. I say that they are the head and never the tail, above only and never beneath. Their cupboards are filled with plenty. They have an abundance for every good work that appears in front of them. And today, Lord, I say that everything that they touch this week, it prospers, it pushes forward, it succeeds, it achieves, it gets greener. We love you, Lord. We honor you with our life, and help us, God, this week to be devoted to you and what you would have for us. Help us to hear and help us to see what you're saying and what you're doing in our world. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. If you agree, just say amen this morning. We will see you on Wednesday night. We love you. Go get them. You've got what it takes.